Lord Jesus Christ, the true Word of God, who created all things, and our loving Redeemer, who revealed God's love while on the cross, we worship and praise you for giving us salvation from sin and death. Continue to bring us your holy word, that we may know the truth and believe on you for salvation. Guide us with your word on the paths of righteousness that you want us to walk, so we never depart from trusting in your cross as a payment for our sins. As you have glorified God's name by your death and resurrection, bless us with the word of truth and faith to believe it. Grant us opportunities to proclaim your salvation to others, that many may know you as their Savior and look forward to the glories of eternal life, which you give to all believers. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 17th chapter of John, beginning at the first verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people who trust in the Lord, and people of prayer, on Memorial Day, we honor those soldiers who gave their lives for our country. On doing this, we don't glorify war, because it is war who put those people into the graves. We don't want any more of those people to die. We honor the people because they serve their country with their lives in order that we might enjoy the freedom and to worship God and the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation. On this day, we also thank God for the victories that he has given to our nation so that peace can prevail among us and in the world. And during this Easter season, we also rejoice in God and glorify his name for the victory that he has given to us over sin and death. Jesus had to die in order that we might have the victory over death. He now lives in heaven in order to rule over all things through his word and also to intercede for us in prayer. While on earth, Jesus was a man of prayer. In our text, Jesus' words are a prayer to God. The whole chapter 17 is a prayer to God before he dies on the cross. And instead of praying only for himself, which we might expect, Jesus is praying for his disciples and for us, those who believe and hear the word of the disciples. So let us study a part of Jesus' high priestly prayer and see that Jesus asked to glorify God's word and name in the world. And from our text, we see Jesus glorified God's work to give us life, and he manifests God's word to give us hope. One would expect that when someone knows that he is dying, he would devote himself to prayer about himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to relieve this cup that was part of his future. And God did not agree with that. He asked according to his will. But we see in our prayer here that he asked that God would glorify his name. As we see, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Jesus later adds, "Glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had before the world was." And so while we look and see Jesus is on the way to the cross and his suffering and his all of that death that he experienced, we also see the other side that makes it possible for Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus is claiming equality and glory with God the Father. Glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was. That equality is part of our teaching as a Christians in the Christian church, that Jesus is both God and man. While he was here on earth in his state of humiliation, he set aside the use of his attributes and his divine glory. He used them on occasion to show that he is God, but we see him being born in a stable, preaching to people without a home, helping the people, glorifying God in this way, and then being willing to suffer death on the cross. Because the cross seems to be such a defeat, such a victory for Satan, it's important for us to understand that Jesus is claiming glory and equality with God. And because he is God, he is able to win the victory for us. The Bible says Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But as God, his death was worth something. According to his precious blood, he was able to free us from sin. And it was about that death that Jesus was talking about in our prayer when he says that your Son may glorify you. You see, the glory of God is not just his holiness and his great majesty. The real glory of God is his loving kindness towards us, that he would send a Savior. His real glory is his pity, that even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so we do not have a theology of glory where we look into the heavens to see Jesus. We promote a theology of the cross. There is the glory of God, because there is our salvation. There is our hope. There is what we need to have the victory over sin and death. Now, Jesus' glory offends the world. He did not come as a mighty king or a powerful warrior or a great philosopher. No, he was born a humble Savior in a stable. He did not lead armies. He came to suffer and die on a cross. And yet we see what that glory of God leads to. In our text, Jesus prays that he might give eternal life to as many as you have given him. This was Jesus' purpose in life, to win salvation for us. And the word salvation means to extract us from an impossible situation. Because of our sins, we could not do anything to be able to glorify God. We could not do anything to pay for our sins, because the more we strive to pay for our sins, the more sins we do. And there is no way out for us. In his love, God sent Jesus to glorify his name. That is, Jesus pities us. He wants us in heaven. And so Jesus was willing to glorify God's name by dying on a cross to suffer our punishment so that one day we can be in heaven and glorify his name. Because we live in the Easter season, the sin which brought us defeat has now been defeated. Jesus has won the victory over sin and death. God's word says, "And through one man's offense, many were made sinners, and judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." The righteous act of Jesus was not only his obedience of the of God's law during his life, but also his obedience to God, to die on the cross in our place as our substitute. Note that it is a free gift that God gives us. It's not something we've earned. It's something that God freely gives because of what Jesus has done. And those who know and believe on Jesus as their Savior have that free gift of eternal life. What a blessing it is to have this hope. We need to ask, how did we get this hope? Jesus has one salvation for all, but what about us? We could have searched over a whole world and never have found that hope or that salvation of Jesus. In fact, even if we had heard the gospel as an unbeliever, we would not have understood it without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Eye has not seen, and nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." A sinful man is spiritually blind and cannot know God. And so St. Paul asks, how shall they call upon him whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent? Jesus answers St. Paul's question in our text. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We have eternal life because through the Holy Spirit, we have come to know Jesus as our Savior and believe on him as the glory of, as the true God and man. And we have come to believe that he has died on the cross to rescue us from sin and death. Jesus himself has promised, "He who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, and it shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Knowing Jesus means that we believe his word when he says, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." On the night Jesus was to be crucified, he talked about his work as being completed. And when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," we are to believe those words. We don't have to add anything to our salvation. Jesus has done it all. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us that faith to believe what Jesus has done. All of this is a gift from God. All of this is the glory of God that he has given to us. Here is the hope that Jesus gives us. We don't have to experience eternal death. Jesus has delivered us from the kingdom of Satan and has brought us over to his kingdom of his Son, in whom we have peace and joy and love in God. And so no matter what troubles we experience in this life, no matter how bad it gets or what persecutions we may experience, we know that there is a better place for us. That Jesus has provided that better place in eternal life. And that will be a better thing than anything else in this world that we can have. St. Paul says that we know that the troubles that we have cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That glory is in heaven. But the question remains, how shall they hear without a preacher? And so before his death, Jesus prayed about his disciples, saying, "I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Jesus thanked his Father for sending him these disciples. They were the ones who heard God's word and believed that he was the Messiah sent from God. Those apostles have died, and other people God has called to spring up and proclaim the message of salvation. Jesus continues to send out preachers to proclaim the gospel to lost sinners, to shepherd baptized souls on their journey through the dark valley of the shadow of death, and to administer his sacraments. These sacraments assure us of God's forgiveness, as we receive today in the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for us for the salvation of our souls, is given to us in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins, to assure each one of us that God loves us, that we have that forgiveness which we need to enter into heaven, so that we can have a true hope in Christ our Lord. And we know that this is true because of God's word. Jesus says, "This is my body and this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." It is God's word that is most important in our lives as Christians. The word that comes to us as we read the Bible, the word that comes to us in our baptism, and the word that comes to us in the Lord's Supper. And that's why Jesus says, "I do not pray for these disciples alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words." Jesus was praying for us. He was praying that we would hear God's word and that we would have that eternal life that he came to give us. Notice, Jesus isn't praying about the disciples' healings. He's not praying about their devotion and how, as an example for us. He's not praying about the speaking in tongues, which they did. He's praying about the one thing that matters, God's word. God's word is true. God's word is clear. God's word is powerful. And that's what keeps us in the faith. Not only does it give us eternal life, but it keeps us in that faith. Jesus is praying for us that we listen to the words of the apostles as written in the scriptures, so that we too may have know Jesus as our Savior and have eternal life. For Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are power, spirit, and they are life." On Memorial Day, we may stand at the graves of soldiers with a hope that young men and women may not have to die anymore in war. But because we live in a sinful world, that's only a hope. There will be more war before Jesus comes. When we visit the graves of Christians, we can thank God for giving them eternal life. And we can stand at the grave with the hope that they will one day rise again when Jesus comes, and with the assurance that we will join them in the heavenly mansions through faith in Jesus. This is the glory of God, that we as sinners, he is welcomed into heaven because of what Jesus has done for us. And so let us look at Jesus' prayer and see how he prays for us through his word, how he glorifies God through his work of salvation, and how one day we will stand in heavenly mansions and glorify God forever for his grace and mercy, as we heard in our epistle lesson. May God grant us such faith in his word, in Jesus, and such hope that one day we will live with him forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.